Hello, hello. Thank you all for waiting. And thank you for being here. And it's so good to see so many new faces. So welcome to this Chief Financial Officers Net Group. For those of you who don't know me, which I think are many of you, my name is Lisa Lorraine Smith, and I'm the Chief Program Officer here at NJHSA. And I get the pleasure of running the now, I think, 29 net groups. It's an awful lot, but it's a lot of fun meeting everyone. And you have a wonderful chair of this group who actually, somehow her camera's not working. She came in three times. Bernadette can talk to us, but we can't see her face. She still will lead the discussion and the meeting. She's there. And she would be waving if she could. I was hoping that everybody could right click and put their name there and their community. And I think we're going to have an opportunity to have everyone introduce themselves briefly because we have a lot to talk about. So Bernadette, you want to take it over from here?
Sure. Good morning. I guess it depends on where you are.
Good afternoon to me.
Good afternoon to some and good morning to others. I'm Bernadette Briggs. I'm the Chief Financial Officer at JFS San Diego. And it's 55 degrees in San Diego. We're very cold. So welcome everybody. And good to see you all. And as Lisa said, we can go ahead and go around the room and introduce ourselves. Your agency, how long you've been, very small synopsis of your role, that would be fantastic. So who shall go first?
Can you see anyone or do you want me to call on
people? I can see folks.
Okay. So call on people because they can't, you know.
Okay, so let me start with Daniel.
Yeah, good afternoon, good morning. My name is Daniel Belich. I am the have been serving, I work at JFCS of Minneapolis. I'm currently the accounting and finance manager and transitioning into the role of chief financial officer in the next month. So new to this group, I'm very excited to meet everybody and get connected.
Okay, Dan, you can call on someone.
Great. I will call on Barbara.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Barbara Well DiPietro. I'm at Goodman JFS of Broward County in Florida. I've been here about a year, coming up on my anniversary, and I'm the Senior Director of Finance and Accounting. And I'll call on Stephen.
Hi, I'm Stephen Brown. I'm with JFS Dallas. I'm the CFO. I've been here for about 2.5 years now, and I'm not happy with Broward County. Only because I recently sold a property from my dad passed, and we sold his house. And Broward County was very mean on their fees.
They were, but I bet you got a good price.
Broward County, everybody drives around in Mercedes.
Oh, so that's good for fundraising, I guess.
And I'll also like, is it Lindy Alexander?
Yes. Lindy, my name is Lindy Alexander. I'm with JFCS in Louisville, Kentucky. And I have been here, January will be my first year anniversary. So I've just been here a little less than a year. And my role is Chief Financial Officer.
Call on someone.
Oh, yes. How about Tammy?
Hello. I'm Tammy Hopwood, JFS Houston, and I've been here just a little over 2 years, and I'm the CFO.
Let me tell you that the reason that we have a CFO group is because Tammy Hopwood was hired 2 years ago at JFS of Houston, and your then COO, Carl Josard, said, we need a CFO group. That's how it began. I'll call on someone, Tammy.
Oh, sorry. Andre?
Hi there. My name is Andre. I'm a CFO, new CFO at the JFCS in Toronto, Canada. This is my month number two, very new to the role and to this group. So happy to see everyone. Looking forward to our discussions.
Mm-hmm. Colin, someone.
Oh, yep. Thank you. Elaine.
You're muted. Elaine, yeah.
After this long, you'd think I would know. I'm Elaine Weinstein. I'm with Jewish Family and Children's Service of Boston. I've been with the organization for about 8 years, but in the role of CFO for just under a year. And so I came in a little bit late, so I apologize if you've already gone, but let's go with Yael.
Hi, I'm Yael Sasley. I'm with JFS Fort Worth in Tarrant County. I've officially been an employee since September 1st, but I was sort of doing the position as a volunteer for the past 2 years. And we were fortunate enough to have the funds to build a position. Operations manager, but I'm doing operations and finances. So I'm sort of a jack of all trades. Let's hear from Kristen.
Hi, I signed on a little late, but I'm going to guess what we're doing. I'm Kristen Lang. I'm at JFS Rochester. We're upstate New York. And I've been at JFS for 9 years. And I'm the CFO.
In the role of CFO.
How much snow is on the ground?
No snow. It's been rainy and dark. I wish it would snow because
I thought Buffalo and Rochester are close together and you got some like 9 feet of snow or something.
I lived in Buffalo for 13 years. I miss it and I love the giant snowstorms, but we're just outside of that belt. So we sometimes get lake effect, but we're like an hour-ish apart down the thruway. So we're middle of the state and they're
wearing a tank top. So
I'm wearing a dress with a capped sleeve
or whatever. Yeah. You're wearing short sleeves.
It's always the same temperature inside. But I do have a coat and some boots.
Yeah. So just, you don't know who, let's call him Michelle because you don't know who is going.
Okay. I believe we're doing introductions. I came late too. I'm Michelle Ebner. I'm the Chief Financial Officer at Hachette, which is located in the Chicagoland area. We run programs for individuals with disabilities. And so was there anything else I need to answer?
That's how long you've been in the position.
I've been here in this role for 10 and a half years.
Okay. So, wow.
It's been a while.
Okay. So let's call on Kimberly.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Bray. I'm with JFCS of Southern Arizona. And I'm the director of finance and administration, and I've been in this role for about a year and a half, so relatively new.
Great. Chakia, are you there? Yeah.
I am. My name is Chakia Scott. I'm the finance manager for Jewish Family Services in Greater Charlotte, and I've been in the role, it'll be 6 months next week.
Okay, welcome. And Paul.
Hi, good afternoon. Sorry, I'm late. My name is Paul Dennison. I'm the CFO at Gulf Coast Jewish Family and Community Services in Clearwater, Florida. And I've been here a little over a year now.
A lot of newbies.
Very new.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think that is everyone. For those that are new to being with us, I was told I needed to chair this group a year ago. So here I am. And I'm also looking for a co-chair if anyone's interested. The meeting today we had rescheduled, but wanted to talk a little bit about the conference that we attended. I don't know if anyone here attended the conference last month in Phoenix, in Scottsdale, Arizona. And there were several Jewish Human Service agencies there. How many were there, Lisa, represented there?
I think we had 46 agencies represented. And
yes, so it was, go ahead.
I think that's it. Do you want me to tell you a little bit about that or what we're going to put up on the screen or
what do you yes. want? Yes. So talk a little bit about the agency. I mean, the group that attended, and I think I, as a CFO, was really glad that I went. It was my first conference. There were a lot of agencies that are kind of fighting the same battle, having the same issues. And it was an opportunity to share and learn from other agencies. So I'm throwing that out there in the event that you have an opportunity next time to attend. I think it was really, really a great conference. So I learned a lot from other agencies as well. So glad I went.
There were probably around 70 people that were in attendance. It's a 1.5 day conference. Next year, it's going to be longer because there's just not enough time to get everything in a day and a half. But it was ExecNet for C-suite professionals. So there were a lot of CEOs, COOs.
Directors.
A smattering of CFOs, but there were probably maybe around 8, I would say, there. So more can come. And this was an especially interesting group or conference because what we did is we hired these professionals to come in and facilitate conversation about what we've done well as agencies over these past 3 years. And then what we envision for the future and how we're going to get there. And then we came up with the top challenges to getting to that vision. And then we came up with the top solutions to getting to that vision. We also added additional challenges besides the top, as well as additional solutions. And then the last day, we had agencies talk about what they've done, and we put their names next to their solution so that if anyone needs to reach out and talk with each other, they have the person's name and they can, you know, call them and ask them how they, you know, pulled together this kind of a committee or how they, you know, did sustainable funding or whatever it is that they had said. And I have it here because we thought maybe I can show you what it is. I'm going to be sending it to you as well. And then we can talk about, some of the challenges and what your perspectives are as CFOs with those challenges. So let me just share my screen for a second. We're only going to do this for like 3 minutes. This was the end, what we got at the very end, the picture that they created for us about what the conference title was, Building Strong, Resilient Organizations and Communities. And we had 4 bucket areas: leading our agencies, leading ourselves, leading to address sector challenges and serving our communities. And then, you know, these are the different challenges and the solutions. So that was the first slide. And how come I'm not being able to move my slide? Oh, there we go. So for example, these were the top challenges for leading our agencies: managing growth infrastructure and the tension between immediate needs and planning for the future, which I'm sure all of you have to deal with all the time in your roles, reining in your CEOs or something. So anyway, and those were the solutions: securing unrestricted dollars to support infrastructure and educating funders and donors about the need. These were the different other challenges that we had, right? And these were the additional solutions for that. And then these were, I'm just showing you what this is. If you click here, you can see who is doing what, if it shows. Do you see anything here? Is it just a blank screen?
It just says click here still.
There we go. It just says click here.
Mm-hmm.
So here I'm gonna now share when I clicked what happens. And then, so these are how different people have managed growth infrastructure. And you can call and talk with them about how they did it if you're interested in any of the solutions. So that is what you're going to be getting shortly for those of you who weren't there. So you can look through it at your leisure and determine if it's of importance to you. So just wanted to share that with you.
And there were names there. Is there a place where you can find contacts of all of those people?
Yes, we're sending along with that the member directory. Yeah, because it was, when you see what I did is I took an 87 page real-time record where they would say something like, Lisa says hello to the audience. It's like, oh my gosh. So I had to cull it down and try to make it manageable. So hopefully everyone will be able to understand it. So
so in our email to you, there were also digging a little deeper, kind of pulling a lot of the funding challenges and workforce challenges for us to kind of have a conversation and share what we did, because that was a different group. They have different ideas, and we'll share those ideas with you. And many of us have lived through these particular challenges that I've summarized from the 87-page document that existed, and put them into those two popular categories that were parts of the conversation that took place in Scottsdale. So it was in the email. So I don't know if
I'll put it
should
to share. The chat. I'll put it to the chat. Okay.
Yes. And so in the funding, in popular topics in the funding was sustainability. How do we get funders to prioritize and align with community needs? Some of those challenges have been like there are funders that have specific areas they want to fund, but it's not necessarily what the community needs. So how do you have that conversation? It's like we go after dollars that we think are more meaningful, maybe, but then, you know, not everyone that knocks on our doors, we take their dollars because they're not aligned. Again, it's the alignment of what we do with the funding. And then there's lack of funding, solving the unrestricted dilemma and not having enough unrestricted dollars. Some of us are really, really program heavy. And then there's admin side of the house that you have to fund with unrestricted dollars. How do we keep that moving? Again, targeting population that align with agency, overcoming loss and maintaining programs. During the pandemic, there were lots of federal dollars or lots of ARPA dollars that came, and they're kind of going along, moving away. So how do we sustain some of those activity? Are some of the challenges. For example, in San Diego, when we got ARPA dollars before pandemic, we delivered 400 meals. And during the pandemic, we had lots of funding for seniors, and we had to do four times the amount. We ended up with 1,600 meals a day. And those seniors are still in need. And how do we sustain any of that, if at all? So those are some of the challenges post-pandemic, post some of the no longer funding that exists from the federal government. So that's kind of, those topics did come up. And I thought as CFOs, we can maybe brainstorm on some of these things and how are you handling them post-pandemic and moving forward in the area of work challenges. For example, we know we're hurting for people. We have several positions, at least in San Diego, so many positions. It's very costly to have temp employees from agencies. How do you consolidate lack of resources, you know, benefits compared to this county, for example, who's also hurting for people? Their benefits are all paid, where people have to pitch in for benefits. Caring for staff, there's a lot of mental health that issues that everybody's facing coming out of the pandemic. How do we really take care of our folks in terms of some of these things? Now we're more hybrid than ever. How do you balance that hybrid and office? Some people must be in the office, or for example, our facilities folks. You can't manage facilities necessarily from the outside, but then there's that rub between those that have to be in the office and those that are, it's okay for them to work from home. How do you balance that? Workers' comp related issues. Do you have any policies around those things? Do you require people to attend meeting hybrid, those internal and those are external? I mean, there's lots of issues related to to
I hope these you guys workforce can solve this in the next 30 minutes, okay?
The workforce challenges. So there's a lot for us to chew on here. And so if there's anyone that would like to start, either way, it doesn't matter because all of us are facing all of these things. So if you want to group, add to this, group things together, how you're dealing with these kinds of issues, I think it would be beneficial for many of us to kind of hear from each other and see how we can support each other and learn from each other. So that is my two cents. Does anybody would like to start and share?
Well, Brenda, I could share a little. I think that was probably more like 10 cents instead of two. That's a lot, to take in. But we're looking, you know, coming out of the pandemic to restructure our development department and beef that up because we need, as you said, the unrestricted dollars. We get a lot of funding from grants, which is directed towards the service, but there's no unrestricted that's coming with that or very little. So we've added additional staffing to development for cities, municipalities to structure that because there's a lot of funds there. We've also increased social media to try and get back into that game. You know, it's difficult, but those are the strategies we're looking for. We're not looking to reduce expenses to meet the reduction in the revenue. We're looking to drive the revenue, the unrestricted.
Is it working?
So far, you know, we've just staffed up because I'm sure everyone's having the same issues we are getting staff. We've just staffed up. We've started our campaign for Feed the Need, which is for our pantry. And compared to a prior year, it's doing well. So I think we're moving in the right direction.
I can also speak to having dedicated development department because they have the opportunity to talk to far more people than we ever will to do the solicitation or writing grants, or it's such a big huge part of what we do. And those campaigns really work. We are in the middle of, we just finished a campaign for Thanksgiving. We had so many donations for food to help those folks. So I think dedicated campaign through development has worked for us greatly and increased the unrestricted dollars that is needed. But, you know, for specific things, but nonetheless, you're able to write overhead into a lot of those things, which is what a lot of unrestricted dollars do take care of.
Right. So we are really fortunate. We also have a dedicated development department who does the grant writing and as well. And they've spent a lot of time educating our donors on the benefit of having unrestricted dollars as opposed to restricted. Even if the restrictions are less, still restricted dollars, but less restrictive. So maybe to a population instead of a specific program or something like that. And so they've done a lot of work around educating the donors, and it's really worked. I mean, we still, of course, struggle and need more like everybody else, but really educating them has worked well for us.
I think we've in Louisville we have a dedicated development department, but what's starting to come to the fore when we've been going through our strategic planning is we need more marketing because we're a well-kept secret in Louisville. We may be, people may, and it's partially of where we're located, partially our name. Like I saw that on the list too. You know, we serve more than just Jewish clients, but we've been on social media, and not a lot of people know about us. So expanding the donor base, you know, trying to get more people to support what we do, we've determined that we don't necessarily have the marketing expertise in our advancement department. And so it's trying to figure out how to afford that, get somebody who could do more sort of professional marketing in addition to, because advancement covers, like you all said, you know, writing grants and a little bit of everything. I mean, just like every nonprofit, we all wear about six hats, but The marketing has been a real need for us and trying to afford that.
You know, when I...
We're also in the process of hiring a marketing professional here. We're known as like the best kept secret. And
All JFSs are the best kept secret.
Confused with the Jewish Home, the Jewish Federation, and the JCC, although we're not the same. But also, we tend to have a lot of programs. And so even if you might know about one of our programs, you might know about our food cupboard, but you have no idea about our school supply store. Or you might know about our school supply store, but you don't know that we do counseling. Or you might attend counseling services, but you know, I have no idea that we do aging services. It's just so, and there, it's really been, we find difficulty, you know, that elevator speech, what do you do? It's like, well, we do everything.
I was going to say, when I was the CEO of a JFS, my CFO would always try to rein me in. No, you know, we can't do that. You know, it's hard enough just to, you know, do what we're doing now. I don't know if you all have that kind of push and pull with your number ones, or if you're always, okay, let's do it. But, you know,
well, I'm definitely not always okay.
What?
I'm definitely not always okay. Let's do it. But, you know, marketing dollars are good dollars to spend. You know, yep. Hopefully they're bringing back the dollars to the organization. So I'm a little better with that. But, you know, you have to figure out the best way to spend them. We're also, you know, trying to educate our staff more and take them. We have a lot of different locations, and take them to those locations and show them firsthand what we do. Because I think, you know, best kept secret, but once the secret's out, I think everyone that knows what we do could be a potential donor easily because the great work we do. So it's just keep pushing that out.
Here in Dallas, we've had a total revamp, I guess, of our development department and marketing. We had turnover in marketing and we had turnover in development. So we're working through that. The hiring process is very difficult. We're finding that there are not a lot of people out there. Just one of the issues. But one of the things that I wanted to ask about, I saw on the list, and it had to do with funding sources. We seem to be getting quite a few grants. You mentioned in San Diego, you got the ARPA grant. Well, we just received the big ARPA grant from Dallas, the claims conference. When you think about all these things, many of these grants require you spend the money first. So the issue that I'm dealing with is more of a cash flow issue than a revenue issue. Yeah. The revenue is there. I've got these grants and awards, but yet I've got to spend the money first. So it's a matter of putting out some significant dollars. I mean, I just found out within the last couple of months that the claims conference, you know, would actually offer advances. Because that was a large amount of money that we had to spend during quarter one, two, three. And there was sometimes 8 months between the time you spend that money and the time you get reimbursed from claims conference. So I'm just wanting to find out if there are other opportunities. I know with ARPA, their whole thing when we applied was they told you it's non-negotiable. It's a reimbursable grant. You have to spend it first. So I'm trying to find organizations that are offering these grants that if it is a reimbursable that will offer those types of advances on the money so that it's not a huge drain on the cash flow. So I'd be welcome to hear how everybody else is dealing with that as well.
You know, for us, Claims Conference was one of those large grants that did take a lot of resources, but like you said, we were able to get advances from them. What we have done is, you know, as soon as we close the month, we kick out those claims and follow up, you know, because that really, if you follow up, they know you're going to call after 10 days after you send them, you know, follow up on your claims. Because people will respond. yes, you have to put the money out front, but then how do you replenish those dollars? Because there's payroll and all of those other things that you have to meet. It's you know, making sure that you have that very, very quick turnaround on your claims and following up on them. We have tried writing into some of our contracts, you know, having the advance, you know, try to negotiate that before you accept a grant. Because some of them will say, okay, you know, this is work that you're wanting to do for this partner on giving you the funds in advance. So if you have a grant department that write these grants, connect with them to say to them as much as you can in those contracts, see how much advance we can have. I mean, we're a nonprofit agent, so we don't have a ton of money sitting to run these programs and get reimbursed later, but you work on it on the front end of accepting those grants. I think something that we have to be cognizant of.
Exactly. And I think the more history you put in, like with the claims conference, you know, our history is better and better. So our advance becomes better and better and our reimbursement comes quicker. So I think the more history you put in, you know, the better the funds come in quicker. And if you have a closer relationship, I think it's easier to change it from a reimbursable grant to an advance.
So what are some of the issues that you're struggling, that some of you might be struggling with right now? That was one that Stephen was. Doesn't have to be from these. These were just ideas that we had thought of. I mean, I think you guys have a tough job allocating, you know, monies and keeping track of everything, especially when there's so many programs. But
I think for us, I mean, after the pandemic, we had such turnover throughout the entire organization. And I think our biggest focus at first was getting programming people in so that we could get programming back up and running. But our back office is still struggling because we're still not up to staff. And so I think that piece of it is we're making these huge investments, you know, right now in programming personnel and trying to recruit people and in recruiting expenses. And, you know, then on the back end, now we've got all this extra work because programs are up and running and we don't have the back office support yet. So I think for right now, like that is where our focus is just we have to get the people. Like we have one person in development right now and we had a team of at least 3 to 4 people before. So, you know, those are the types of pieces that like we're kind of at this juncture where, you know, we got to find people.
Right. That's a top challenge from leading our agencies is managing the growth infrastructure. You know, programming can go, but the infrastructure inside is always the last. And it's so hard on the staff.
Yeah, that's one of our biggest issues right now, too, is just recruiting. For the programs, actually, also, we had an HR department of 2 who both left the same month. So it's a little stressful there. But even our program people, it's really hard to get to recruit. And, you know, those people generate revenue also. So we're off on both our revenue. You know, we're off, you know, there's fewer staff expenses, but it doesn't. That's not a good thing in this case because our revenue's off. So really finding that's our biggest pain point right now is recruitment. So not a good thing when your HR department leaves, but.
but what's happening in Gulf Coast? You guys needed a lot of staffing, I remember at one point. I don't know.
Yeah, we do maintain a lot of staff because we have a pretty broad scope of services provided. And we've actually, since I started, we've been short-staffed. I mean, I started here at the beginning of September of 21, and we were short-staffed from the very beginning. We've gotten our team in place, which probably took until at least spring. Of this year just to get the people in the place, let alone training and up to speed. So, you know, I think we're in a good place now for staffing, but yeah, I mean, here in the Clearwater, Tampa Bay area, you know, finding, finding, well, I was going to say finding qualified, but heck, even finding, I suppose, maybe even unqualified staff is hard to find. But especially someone that will work for a nonprofit at a nonprofit's wages.
Mm-hmm. That's the issue.
Yeah, that's the issue.
Because, I'll just say this real quick.
I just had someone who, a search firm, was like, well, here's a candidate, you know, for one of our, like a senior position. And she had an MBA, so she had good experience and everything. But I think the, if I remember right, the wage was $84 an hour. I was like, I don't make that. I'm not paying one of my employees $160,000 a year. So, yeah, that was a non-starter there.
Right. Yeah, it's that, you know, the wages and the benefits, it's really taking a lot of people away from us. Because as nonprofit, we don't have a whole bank of money to pay people. In addition to that, we're service oriented, where people do have to meet clients and support clients. You know, we have a market and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they can do work that is remote. So you save energy here by turning off the lights when there's nothing going on. So in doing so, we have also been losing people to full remote work. And that's, you know, that's the whole new pandemic, post-pandemic adjustments that we have to make.
Right. Well, this group of people right here, you're all working in nonprofits, right? You're all business acumen, you know, financial acumen working in nonprofits. So, you know, that says a lot about who you are also as people. You know, I always find that interesting, because Bernadette, you could probably leave where you are and make a lot more money somewhere else.
Leave to retirement. That's my plan.
Okay, well, she's retiring. But let's say, Paul, I'm just saying that, you know, we all do it because we're mission driven, right? And we're values driven. Right. And that's why we're in this field, even with business and financial acumen.
I know I do it because, you know, my previous life, whatever, was in for profit. And, you know, I kind of, after the, whatever, the recession in 2008 and 2009, that's when I fell into, you know, the company I worked for closed down. So I went to a CPA firm. They just happened to have a need to couple with, you know, for nonprofits. So that's how I fell into nonprofits. And then, you know, that feeling that, you know, everything isn't just a dollar sign. Everything isn't just production and that. There's actually a substantive, I can look at what the work someone else is doing, but I'm supporting that at least. Mm-hmm. And I can look at the benefit of that. I mean, the first nonprofit that I really spent a lot of time for was in Indiana. And like a week into it, they had like a little school for kids with special needs. And it was summertime, and the person I was working for who hired me, he takes me over for this little presentation. You got these, you know, 8 to 12-year-old kids doing a little, you know, with special needs who are doing like a little summer presentation thing. And as soon as I watched that, I mean, we were going to the office and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm hooked. Now I'm hooked, you know, so it is. It's about way more than just feeding my pocket. You know, it's feeding my soul.
Have you found that you've had to increase your salaries?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to be like, we can't afford that. It's another thing to be like, well, we have to afford it. Yeah, and I feel like that's where we are now.
Right.
Yeah, the finance we've had to increase out of necessity to some extent. But if, to be honest with you, I mean, finance is just that small piece. So really what's been the most... the biggest risk, I guess, for us has been the fact that we've had to raise wages everywhere else. You know, like our case managers, those had to go up. That was, and in most cases, those were at the urging of the funder, you know, so the funder provided more funds. But the truth is you can't necessarily raise one program up and leave case managers another program down, because then they're all going to quit or want to go to this other program.
Right.
And then all the frontline workers we have here in Indiana or here in Florida, they recently raised the minimum wage for all state workers to $15 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So that means we had employees who maybe we were hiring at maybe $11 an hour or something at the time. Those had to go up to 15. You know, so we set our base level. We had to set our base level at 15. And I mean, you can imagine that's in some cases that was a 30%+ raise for people or more. Mm-hmm. And that hit the books right away. So it's been tough. Right.
We did a salary study last year. I mean, that was, and we wanted to be transparent with a lot of the information. And we found that being transparent wasn't necessarily the best way to go, but we were very transparent with the survey, and it ended up costing the agency a lot of money because we had a lot of people that, if you just look at salary wise, you know, they were below market. Absolutely. But what we have to take into consideration is the benefits. I mean, I think from, you know, we offer, you know, medical and dental, at least we offer a base plan that's 100% paid for. We pay 100% of the premium on the base medical. We pay 100% of the premium on the base dental. We have a very generous PTO policy on top of the holidays and then the Jewish holidays that you
add on. That's how you get people in, Stephen. Right. That's how you get them in.
Right. So it's right. So you've got to sell yourself as far as quality of life and that goes while you're still needing to get the mission done. I mean, absolutely. I think what we're finding is, I mean, when I look at myself, I came here, I was worked for, you know, 30 years in healthcare for profit. It's not about the money anymore. I mean, I'm at that point in life where it's more about a legacy. So you sell that. Yep. But we have to be good salespeople at selling our mission. Yeah. And understanding that this is, we do this and we may not, you know, have the highest salaries because we have a mission to do, and I'd much rather spend those extra dollars on the mission than on salaries. Right. I mean, so it's a constant balance. I mean, and every dollar you spend on admin, you know, I mean, we're going to start seeing, we just went through our audit for our July 31 year end, and our G&A, you know, MG&A went to a percentage that I'm not happy with. But I mean, it's a combination of all of these different things, the market, you know, reduced revenue. You know, we had a lot of EHAP, Emergency Housing Assistance Program revenue that was funded through, you know, the pandemic by, you know, the government that's not there anymore by COVID dollars. So that made revenue go down. Revenue goes down. Expenses, even if they don't go down but stay the same, your percentage goes way up on the MG&A. So we're dealing with that right now.
So are other people on this call having a higher percentage than they had expected or hoped for?
We are. We also switched IT. We outsourced all of our IT, and we had to switch IT companies, and our IT costs are just through the roof also. But I mean, when you say we're increasing salaries, would you still consider yourself to be lower than maybe
lower than market,
at a nonprofit rate, or are you benchmarking yourself against other?
We did three positions that we did not market, that we didn't look at in the survey, with the C-suite. We're getting ready to do that.
Okay.
So I mean, we did everything below the C-suite.
We just got a new CEO. So.
Yeah, you did. So let's hear what's happening in Toronto, Andre. Does any of this make sense to you?
Yeah. I'm pretty new to the place, but what I've seen so far, yes, staffing struggles as during pandemic, a lot of people who are in social work went into private practices because they realized they can do it from home and earn more money. So that's one of the challenges. Another challenge, we're a unionized place. So our next bargaining is up for renewal. And in Canada, there was a law where we were not supposed to increase salaries more than 1% a year. So again, remuneration is one of the hottest topics these days as well. Yeah, what I'm also noticing in this place, again, I'm new, is that accounting and a lot of these systems are outdated. The accounting department is paper-based to an extent. That means to me that I will have to invest in IT. So I would like to hear your experiences, maybe not here, but at the one-on-one level, as to how you've done that, what maturity level you are. This is something that's probably going to be at the forefront.
Hold on, Andre. What are you saying? Your paper level? You don't have a software to do your job?
We do have software. It's just maybe it's the processes that people are used to, approving things on paper, carrying around stacks of paper.
Okay.
I'm sure
definitely it's need to talk to somebody about how to streamline that. Whoever wants to volunteer to help him, you know, talk to his CEO about what they need, please put your name in the chat.
So yeah, a quick way. Yeah, we did have a lot of paper processes, you know, hiring forms going from one desk to the other. You lose the paper in a red folder, who knows where it gets to. So the quickest thing that we did was just doing the Acrobat PDF. We call them PDF, but you know, it's a software that is so easy to program, and you follow the signature and you attach a document and it gets signed very quickly. I mean, we have been able to implement that very quickly. It's a quick fix, but it's not a system per se, but at least, you know, it gives you the approval process. You know, very quickly you can get that implemented. And we've done a lot with that recently.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Brenda. I'll reach out to you to learn more.
Okay. I'll hook you up with our chief technology officer here.
Andre, we implemented bill.com for our accounts payable. So we have paperless accounts payable approvals. And it also stores, you know, the invoices in there. And you know, if you want to put any other thing, other items store in there.
Can you spell it again? What was the name?
Bill, B-I-L-L.
Okay. Yeah.
It's actually, it was bill.com and now they're Bill. But yeah.
Does that integrate with your GL system?
It does. And we use Intacct, Sage Intacct.
Oh, I hope you get a discount from NJHSA, do you?
We actually were already getting the discount. I actually spoke with I forget her name, Karen maybe. To as a reference when they were looking into the Intacct.
Oh, terrific. So who else haven't we heard from?
I can go.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So and I'll just not sure where to start actually, but I'll echo a lot of what other people have already said. Staffing has been a really big challenge for us over the past year. We've had historically high vacancies, and at the same time, we're trying to fill existing positions, and we have recognized the need to build out additional capacity on the back end. So we've added several new positions into our budget for 2023. We've had a flurry of hiring in the last month or two, which is really great, but continues to be a challenge for us. In terms of the finance department, I am newer to this role, but I came into a department that is all has long history and long tenure with the organization. So, you know, we'll be thinking about succession planning and working through some of that. And I also, in the next year, I'm really focused on some technology upgrades. We're doing a lot of things paperless, and it does not lend itself well to a hybrid work environment. In my previous role, I led a financial system conversion, and we also implemented a product called Nexania. So, Andre, I would throw that out there as well. I think it's actually a Canada-based company, but it integrates really well with Sage Intacct, and that does basically online expense processing and credit card processing if you have corporate cards. So really, I also am hoping to focus on some of that in the upcoming year.
Nice. What about Jaki? Are you still with us? Or Kimberly? What's happening in Arizona?
Hi, sorry, I had to get a hold of my mute button. We've been having issues with hiring. Like other people have mentioned, you know, having issues with people not wanting to accept a wage that we're able to pay as a nonprofit. Sometimes we can't even compete with some of the other nonprofits in town, and retention. We've been having issues keeping some of our clinicians. And then marketing too, a little bit, I would say, is another issue for us.
So all of these things, how does it impact your job specifically? Because you're not the one going out marketing or raising the money.
No, but I talked to the marketing director. I don't know. We just kind of try to collaborate and talk about how there can be some improvements there. Or I'll talk with the CFO, I'm sorry, and try to figure out what we can do just to make all of our programs more known, because we have a lot of programs.
Yeah, we do.
My accounting department is filling in for fundraising right now and development. And so they're doing a lot of the data entry that our donor database manager used to do, because we don't have one anymore. A lot of that reconciling. And so my head of development right now said we'd be completely, part of my French, but screwed if it wasn't for the accounting department filling in all those gaps. So.
That's a lot of pressure in accounting to have to do development work, having to month end close and year end close and audit and pay bills and all of those kinds of things. It's just, you know, it's just a lot. So I think what I'm hearing a lot is, it seems like, you know, you have to spend money to make money, and that's where development comes in, where there's that focus on, you know, just trying to find different streams of funding. And so that's always a challenge. I mean, there, if you have some folks focused on doing that work, we can do what we were hired to do best, is taking care of those resources when they come. But I'm still hearing everybody has a challenge of having to hire. And that's the biggest question. What do we do? I mean, we have tried some temp work, but coming through agencies is very, very expensive, because, you know, you're paying above what we want to pay and market. But then sometimes we're so buried under the work that we just cry for help, because there's just so much to do. That's unsustainable. You know, you have people in for a week or two to get you from under the rubble, but then you're back in it because you can't sustain that either. So I don't know. Is there an answer to it?
Well, as far as the staffing, we also have struggled with staffing, obviously, I think everyone does, but an effort to retain the staff we have when, you know, they're getting offers, we did send out a compensation package so that they could see, and, you know, in writing what they're getting as far as the hours, the benefits, the holidays, so they could see their full package of compensation. And also, you know, we try and, you know, celebrate what we do, celebrate the mission, because the more we drive home the mission, the more people will be invested in our organization.
That's a great point. At every meeting that I have with my staff, we bring to attention what we call mission moment, mm-hmm. right? So we talk about something in the program that we do because that is really why we're here. We have in development, I get a story from development, talk about a family that had this success, talk about people that left our parking lot. We have a safe parking program. Talk about people that left our parking lot to go into housing. I mean, that's an accomplishment that we don't see every day, but it's there. So I encourage you to bring those mission moments to your meetings to kind of reinforce while we're there, because we don't always see it, but it's a good part of really making people feel good about being there as you start your meetings. So that's one way to encourage folks to kind of, you know, really stay tied to the mission.
I was going to say that we've heard from everyone, I think, except for Tammy. Normally you're so talkative. What happened? Or Yael, did we hear from you? I don't think we heard from you either. We got 2 minutes.
I was just going to say, you know, we've sort of, I don't know if we were ahead of the curve or what, but we did a complete website redo 2 years ago, which has tremendously helped with supporting our programs and marketing and everything. Also, 3 years ago, we adopted a policy to pay on benchmarking at the 50th percentile. You know, some people, if they were significantly far from that, we stepped it up. You know, we didn't do it all at once. So those are all really well and good. We haven't had a tremendous amount of turnover, you know, so, you know, we just haven't, we see some of the things you're seeing, but our main struggle, as has always been since I've been here, is volume of work. So
it's too much. Too much for you to do.
We have lots of money coming in, $18 uh-huh. at a time, and we just struggle with volume and process improvement. We've worked on a lot this year and more for next year. I'm not sure if paperless is 2023 or 2024, but yeah, that's what's going on here.
Is that something to talk about? Potentially processes that people do.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, is that good?
I would like to hear experiences and ideas, and that would be amazing.
I think that would be great.
Okay,
specifically so finance related processes. Yeah,
because maybe people have similar ones or they're very different. I don't know. Does that make sense, Bernadette?
Mm-hmm. We can figure out how to maybe bring, if you can send me topics within those processes, I think that will narrow the conversation some. Because there's all kinds of processes, right? What is your month-end closing process? What is your getting information over into accounting? And then if you have, what is your AP processes? What is your approval processes for AP? How do you streamline those things? I mean, those are specific areas that can be discussed, but I think it would be helpful for us to kind of narrow some of that down and people can share what that looks like maybe at the next.
That would be great.
At our next get together.
If you guys are interested in that, email me, right? Everyone has my email address. I'm going to be sending you that PowerPoint. So email me back about the processes that you may want to hear.
To talk through. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that would be great. And the next meeting, I don't think we planned our 2023 meetings, did we?
Not yet.
Not yet, because we're still looking for a co-chair. So Bernadette needs some help, and I do a lot of it, but she's the thought behind all of these topics. So if anyone's interested, let me know. And I'll tell you what it entails, which isn't that much, I guess, is it?
No. Just talk to me more, and that's all.
Okay. Come on, you guys. Somebody, one person, step up, step in. Leadership role in a national organization looks good on your resume. Okay. So thank you all. We'll have something like probably in January or February, right, Bernadette? We'll come up with the date.
Correct. And then in the meantime, if you can start thinking about some of the processes that are kind of problematic for you, or that's working great for you that you can share those processes, you know, specifically maybe in your AP, AR, month end close. Those are some of the, you know, larger processes that pops in my head. If there's any others, we can certainly maybe take a couple at a time because we each process things very differently and share. So maybe at each of the meetings, we have a chunk of time to talk about processes because that's an ongoing thing, right? You can never define it enough. And we just keep learning from each other, especially when it comes to audits and your internal control is very, very important to have those tight for audit purposes.
Okay, sounds good. Everyone have a wonderful winter holiday, whatever you celebrate. And we'll see you in the new year, 2023. Brenda, can you stay on for 1 minute?
I'm sorry?
Can you stay on after this for 1 minute?
Sure. Andre, get in touch with me. Let me know how I can help you. Thanks, everybody. Good to see everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.